You're amazing, and this morning we just give you all the praise, honor, and glory that you so rightly deserve. As we come together, Lord, as one family, either on-site or online, Lord, we pray that you would just speak to our souls through your word, Lord. Lord, make us more like your Son, Christ, Lord, in the way we think and the way we do things, Lord, the way we approach people, the way we approach situations, Lord. Remind us, Lord, that you are in control, you are in charge. We sometimes forget that, Lord, and we act like if you don't exist. We forget that you still hold this universe in your hand, and like Steve earlier said, we have our breath because of you. You formed us, and you formed us for you. As we gather together, Lord, as one family, we just want to bask in your presence and be renewed in our strength. Thank you, Christ our King. It's in your name we pray. And all of God's people here online and on site, together with one voice, said, Amen, amen. Welcome again this morning. We're so glad you're here. Whether you're here on site or you're maybe connecting online, welcome. Super excited you decided to come and worship with us this morning. Many of you have social media. Maybe some of you have Facebook already. If you're a teen or tween, maybe you have Instagram or some other Snapchat or what is it, a Tumblr or whatever they are. Not Tumblr, actually, that's a dating site, isn't it? Hopefully you don't have Tumblr. Wait a minute. But you probably have, you're acquainted with the social sites. And for some of you, like on Facebook, I don't know if you've ever seen like Throwback Thursday. Who's ever seen that? Throwback Thursday. And people put like what they used to look like and now what they look like now. This is what it would look like if you were a butterfly. You know, this one goes way back when he was a worm, right? So you guys have seen that, you know, transformation, right, of your own life. And maybe some of you at some point in your life, you know, I'm sure this doesn't happen often, but you've been pulled over by a cop. You know, can we admit that at some point you've been pulled over by a cop and your ID didn't match your face, right? Because you've grown so much in 10 years. Yeah, that's what a butterfly would say. That's an old photo, right? It's like the worm. Or maybe, you know, for some of you, your loved one looks at you and it's like, man, you've changed so much. And they don't just mean your weight. They mean like you as a person, right? You've changed so much. You've been so transformed. And maybe for some of you, your spouse is still telling you like, you need to change, right? Well, what would that look like in the life of a butterfly? You know, you got mama butterfly says, I can change him. Dolores, he has to want to change. I don't know why he has somewhat of a Mexican-like country accent, but, you know, but what is she hoping for, right? She's hoping for transformation. And I'm here this morning just to tell you that in a lot of ways, we hope for that transformation too, right? Just like the butterfly transforms or the worm transforms into a butterfly, in the same way, we are going through some major transformation inside of us. And we're going through major transformation because the work of the Spirit is inside of us, is working inside of us, and He's working through the circumstances in our life as well. And the reality is that you will be as different as you determine to be. You will be as different as you determine to be. And not only that, God is not out to make you a better person. Now, that's important for me to say that. God is not out there to make you a better person, as if though there's some things that need to change and be tweaked in your life. God is out there to transform you into a different person. Now, there's a difference in that. There's a difference in that. Because change can be, you know, I can do a lot of outward changes. I can change the way I behave or the way that I engage people. But God is more interested in your heart than he is your behavior. Not that he's not interested in your behavior, but he's interested in your heart. Because if he changes your heart, then everything flows out of that. Your lifestyle flows out of that. Many of you are familiar with Romans chapter 12, verse 2. What a powerful verse. I use it frequently here. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it says, do not be conformed, or don't follow the pattern of this world. In other words, don't just go with the natural trend of the world. Just because the world thinks and does certain things a certain way doesn't mean that you have to do that as well. Just don't be conformed. And it's not talking about you being actively trying to, you know, comply with the culture. It's not talking about that. It's talking about, like, don't allow yourself to just follow the ways of the world just because that's where the world is headed. No, no, no. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. But, which is a contrast, but be transformed. Be transformed. You know, that's where we get the word metamorphosis. And it's the idea that you're being transformed from the inside out. Now, it says be transformed, which means it's a passive. You're the passive agent in this. In other words, you don't go out in life and you're like, you know what? I'm going to transform myself. That's what you do when you do external changes. In other words, you're allowing yourself. That's the idea. You're being transformed by who? By the Holy Spirit. You're allowing yourself to be transformed. But what's your part in this? By the renewing of your mind. That's how you're transformed. It's right here. This changes right here, then everything else begins to change. The way you view the world right here needs to be rooted and founded in Scripture, in the Word of God. If not, it is rooted in emotions, it's rooted in popular beliefs, is rooted in something other than, it has to be rooted in the Word of God. And when you are feeding yourself the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit is transforming you. And in the process, what happens is you're able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And boy, many of us need that, right? We want to know what His will is. Well, that happens by means of renewing your mind, which Scripture is the main ingredient that the Holy Spirit uses. Now, Marisa makes this cowboy soup. It is delicious. I mean, it is delicious. I mean, it is really, really good. And over the course of the last couple of years, she's learned to master that cowboy soup. She's got the right ingredients, man. I'm telling you, if you could taste that cowboy soup, you'd be like, you'd be at my house, like, wanting it. You'd be hooked, like a person who's hooked on drugs. You'd be like, hey, man, I need my fix. I mean, it's just me. Like, once a week, we have cowboy soup. It's a tradition. Once a week, we get that. And that once a week, man, I'm a skinny boy, but, man, I can eat like a hog. I am eating crazy cowboy soup. It's like I go for the third, fourth bowl. I am chowing down that cowboy soup. And it has beef, ground beef, and sometimes ground pork. I'm not going to tell you the ingredients, actually. Marisa will get after me. But it has also tomatoes, and it has all sorts of stuff in there. But in there, there's a secret ingredient. You want to know what it is? No way, I can't tell you. No, I can't. I really can't tell you. Like, I won't go home. Marisa won't allow me to go home if I share it. You know, now Ziana, my daughter, she knows now the secret ingredient too. And that one ingredient, when it's in there, oh. If I were to go to prison, which I hope I never do, right? If I was in death row, which I hope I never am in death row, and they asked me, what's your last meal? I'd be like, cowboy soup. Marisa style, you know, it'd be me. Like, do you want it once? I want it every single week, every single day. You know, that would be me, cowboy soup, you know. But if you take that one ingredient in her cowboy soup, listen, if you take that one ingredient, it's just normal, you know. Not to degrade everybody else's cowboy soup, but it's just like, you know, everybody else's, you know. It's just something about that ingredient that just makes that taste like really good. Scripture is that one ingredient that is just necessary. You need it. Scripture is the one ingredient that our chef, the Holy Spirit, uses to transform you, to make you, thank you, to something that he wants to make you. So it's necessary. Scripture is necessary, is what the Holy Spirit uses in your life. Because God is at work. And he's recreating you. He's reprogramming your mind. He's redefining your values. why you do what you do. And he is making you more into the image of his son, Jesus. In other words, he's making you in a way that your ways are his ways. And so, and there's two ways that God chooses to transform you. The first one is the outside-in method. And the second is the inside-out method. Now, what does that mean? Well, when God chooses to transform you from the outside in, basically what happens is he takes your circumstances, your life, you know, the challenges that come into your life, and he brings out of you what he needs to bring out of you in order to correct you. Have you ever been in a situation where it's like, oh man, that one relationship just, oh man, she or he, I love her to death, or I love him, but boy, he brings out something inside of me that's really good, but also that's something that really challenges me. He brings out my selfishness. Well, that's circumstances, right? Relationships sometimes brings that out in you. Siblings, you know that to be true, right? You're like, oh, my sister, oh, my brother. Or something happens in your life. Circumstance, something catastrophic, something that you didn't expect. And all of a sudden, something inside of you is like, man, it brings out of you something that was already in there, but God is using your outward circumstances to bring that out. That's an outside-in transformation because the Holy Spirit is working in circumstances. But there's also the inside-out transformation because the Holy Spirit is working inside of you. And that's when you feel this inward tug. Have you ever been there? Where you're like, oh. And it's from the inside. Nobody sees it. Nobody's like, oh, they're struggling. But inside, you're like, man, I feel like I'm being called to do something. I feel like God is pulling me in a certain direction to make the right decision to do that one change. Well, today we're going to be talking about the inside-out transformation that Scripture does in your life, that the Holy Spirit does through Scripture in your life. I want you to go to Psalm 19, verse 7. Go to Psalm 19, verse 7. We're going to see four transformational things that the Word of God does inside of you. So go there with me. In verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. So it starts off, the psalmist, by saying, you know, the Word of God, it is perfect. There's nothing more perfect than the Word of God. That when God says, that is perfect. Reviving the soul. Reviving the soul. What does that mean? God's Word will encourage your soul. It's the first point here. God's Word will encourage your soul. That's what the Word of God does. Have you noticed? Like when you're reading Scripture or when you hear the Word of God, you're like, man, that really encouraged me. I mean, I was so upset before, but boy, now I really feel like I'm really encouraged. And I was bummed out before, but then I read or heard the Word of God, and now I feel uplifted. Ever felt that way? You feel uplifted? I don't know how many of you here have ever been runners. Anybody here ever ran, you know, like we've ran? Yeah, okay, so, you know, we got some, first hour is like way more hands, you know, but, you know, runners, right? Runners, they're interesting, you know, phenomena. I used to run a lot. And there's like, it's like this little click, right? Because you're running, right? You're trying to run and you're hoping you don't have the, you know, the 1970s shorts, especially if you're a guy. You know what I'm talking about? You want to make sure you're not like the basketball players in the 1980s when you're running with those short shorts. But you do your run, right? And there's another runner that sees you running. What do? Honk, honk. Yeah, man, go at it. You should get that all the time. I used to do that all the time. Honk, honk. Yeah, go run, right? And so there's this culture of encouragement. You just encourage each other, and then you feel uplifted, and you're like, man, I could do more than a mile. And all of a sudden, you can do 3 miles. And if you're at the gym, you're doing the treadmill. And you, and especially if you're doing it by yourself, you're like, oh, man, like lukewarm, kind of like, oh, like I'm going to run, just a slight jog. Oh, man, but somebody gets next to you, what happens? Oh, all of a sudden, your chest puffs up. No matter if it's a guy or a girl. I mean, it really doesn't matter. If there's somebody next to you, doesn't matter if they're large or not large. It doesn't matter. Somebody's next to you. All of a sudden, man, you're just like, you know, if you could do 3 miles before, you're like, you're going for number four. It doesn't matter if you're panting, sweat, gasping for, it doesn't matter. You're going to go for mile four because you're not going to be outdone or outdone by the next guy next to you. And they serve as an encouragement. See what's happening in those situations. You're getting encouraged. You're getting encouraged. And that's what the Word of God does. It encourages you. It encourages you to move forward when you feel like you're like, I mean, I just can't anymore. Man, I feel at a loss. No, it just spurs you on. It spurs you on. A couple years ago in 2013, one of my best friends, still my best friend, and he's in North Carolina now. He used to own part of Revival Fitness before he sold his share of Revival Fitness. And he used to come to this church, and he was like, hey, man, you want to work out? Mind you, I had never, ever, ever, ever worked out. Ever. And this guy is like super built, muscular, you know. He's got the guns, right, or the bazookas, whatever. I mean, this guy is like fit. And so when a fit guy asks you, like, you wanna exercise, you don't want to seem uncool, I'm like, yeah, sure, man. Let's do this thing, right? So I remember the first time going to the gym, and he's like, you know, he's big, you know. He's done bench presses. He's benching, I don't know, four times his size, right? And he's just doing like, I bet you he could do it with one hand if he could. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I go to the bench, you know, and I'm trying to seem all cool. Like, I know the equipment, you know. I'm laying there. I'm touching the bar. And he puts like, I don't know, 10 pounds in each side. I'm like, no, man. Like, listen. If you can do four, I can do four too. And they're like, no, buddy, you can't. I was like, okay, give me three times my size. No, you can't. You know, two times? No. One size? No. 10 pounds each side. I'm like trying to bench press, you know. And he was up there like, yeah, man, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. Now, mind you that I injured my shoulder after that, I was like, man, I can't. I tap out, you know. Give me the lightweights. Give me the girly weights, the little small ones, 5 pounders. But the point is, like, he was there to encourage me. That's what Scripture does in your life. The Holy Spirit brings out Scripture in your life and says, hey, listen, when you're getting discouraged, like, no. The Scripture brings out to life the very words of God saying, hey, listen. Jesus loves you. Oh, but I sinned. No, but then you start reading those verses and the Holy Spirit brings those to life. And the third person of the Trinity starts encouraging you. That's what Scripture does. The second thing the Scripture does is in transforming is this. God's Word will make you wiser. It will make you wiser. Continuing in verse 7, it says, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. In other words, you can really trust the Word of God. You can trust it. Making wise the simple. Making wise the simple. See, the Word of God makes you wiser. And when it makes you wiser, you start making better decisions, better choices. All of a sudden, you find yourself making, like, really wise decisions in your life. And it's because the more Scripture you get into your life that the Spirit of God is able to use in your life, the more you're able to discern and pick out and figure out what's the right path to go? What's the right decision to make? It makes you wiser. For far too many years, many of us have blamed the circumstances. Well, if this wouldn't have happened, can you imagine a day where you would be able to make the right choices and eliminate a lot of the pains in your life? Wouldn't that be awesome if you can eliminate a lot of the painful experiences in your life? That happens when you are engaging in the Word of God. Now, continuing in verse 8, we're going to see our third transformational principle here, which is God's Word will change your attitude to joy. God's Word will change your attitude to joy. In verse 8, it says, the precepts of the Lord are right. Like, in other words, God knows what He's talking about. After all, He is God. Giving joy to the heart. Giving joy to the heart. See, all of a sudden, when you're engaging in God's Word, you start finding that joy inside of you, because then you start realizing, wait a minute, God still loves me? Like, even when I really mess it up, he still pours his love towards me, and his love and kindness is unending. And all of a sudden, you start feeling like, man, there's a joy inside of me. Ever been there, been in a room where you feel like your life is going all wrong, but you still have a smile on your face? Because Scripture assures you, because the Holy Spirit is using Scripture to assure you, like, hey, listen, you are loved. And if you're one of mine, you're not going to lose your salvation. You're not going to lose. No, you're one of mine. And I take care of mine, of my people. You're my son and you're my daughter. And all of a sudden, you feel overwhelmed by the kindness of God, and there's joy that comes out of your heart. And even though the world around us may be chaotic, challenging, especially nowadays, a lot of depression is going on. This past year, a lot of depressed people. And yet there's still that sense of, man, there's this joy because you know the very character of God. God's still in control. He didn't get unseated from his throne. He's still in control. The fourth thing in this passage we're going to see is God's word will broaden your perspective. God's word will broaden your perspective. Listen to this. It says, the commands of the Lord are radiant. In other words, what God tells you to do, it's radiant. It brings light, giving light to the eyes. Now, here the imagery that's being conjured up is one of which you have this lantern or candle, and you come, walk into a dark room, and all of a sudden you can see what's in the dark room. And what does that mean? It gives you perspective. You can see what's around you. And ever been walking, for those of you who have little children and your kids, the toys are everywhere, and you're walking late at night going to the restroom, and all of a sudden you're like, ay caray, boom! You stepped on a toy, and now you're like saying all sorts of profanity. Ah, yay! You know, ever been there? It's because you didn't have light. You didn't see the danger in front of you as you were going to the restroom because you didn't have the light. Scripture, that's what it does. It gives you perspective. It gives you the dangers. Even it's common knowledge. You turn on the lights, and hopefully in your home, when you turn on the lights, the cockroaches aren't moving around, right? Ever been there? Like, cockroaches are going everywhere, or the mice, they're like, man, the mice don't care, really. So nowadays, the mice are like, they're just there. If they were human, they would be like, hey, what's up? Like, they just don't care anymore. You know, the poison you've tried to use with them, they're like, oh, they don't work with me, you know. But what happens? You turn on the light, all the critters come out, or they just try to hide. That's what the Word of God does. It's how it brings you perspective. You start seeing the kind of people and what their intentions are. Now, don't go out to your friend that's a gossip and say, hey, man, you're a cockroach. My pastor said so. Don't do that, you know. You made that link. I didn't. I'm just saying. But it gives you perspective. It gives you perspective in life. You've been there. You see, you know, there's certain things going on in your job, and you have perspective. You're like, wait a minute. I'm seeing something here. The Word of God is just, it begins to inform even your circumstances. You see, all these are transformative things that God is doing when you are reading the Word of God. And God forces you and tugs you to rearrange your life according to the way He wants you to rearrange it. But what do we do with this? Go to Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. In other words, happy or blessed, you know, is a sense of happiness. Happy is the person that is not walking in the counsel of the wicked. In other words, happy is the person that is not having to ask advice for people who really want you to do wrong, or they're just doing wrong. Blessed is the person that has a good counsel, the people that can steer him right, that can help in his or her walk with the Lord. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners. What does that mean? He's not standing in the way of people trying to find the Lord. He's not standing in the way. He's not a stumbling block. He's not the person that's like, man, if that's what it means to follow Jesus, man, why would I want to follow Jesus, right? It says, blessed is the person who doesn't stand in the way of sinners pursuing the Lord. Or blessed is the person who does not sit in the seat of the mockers. What is that? Happy is the person that's not like have really close association. Not that you don't have association with people, but you're not really close with people that are just talking bad about other people. It says you have more happiness, and that's true, isn't it? Have you ever noticed how miserable we get when we get into relationships with people that all they do is just talk criticism and gossip and talking bad about people? Have you ever found yourself just feeling like, man, I feel yucky? Because you're not happy. It's as happy as a person that is not seating, it's not taking the seat with other people, mocking other people. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, he enjoys the word of God. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Man, I love this passage. One of my favorites. Not only does he enjoy the word of God, but he's meditating on the word of God. He's meditating on it. He's observing it. He's looking at it. He's looking at insight on it. Verse 3, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. Pause there for just a moment in verse 3. This whole idea of a tree being planted next to a stream of water. Just imagine the picture. It's just getting its roots and it's getting water all the time. It's getting its proper nutrition and it prospers. We got a gift from a friend of ours, an oak tree. It was a baby oak tree. By baby, I don't mean like a little oak tree. Like baby oak trees are like taller than I am. And I know you think I'm tall, but they're way taller than I am. And so we got this oak tree, and it was when it started to freeze. And we're like, well, we don't want it to freeze. Still baby tree. And I don't know what happened when we brought that tree into the house. There was I've never gotten attached to any plant. I just don't. Animals maybe, but not plants. All of a sudden, I was like, man, I love this tree. Because we put it inside that living room, and then I would watch worship at night, worship music. You know, and sometimes it was just me, and I was like, I would look at the tree like, oh, man, it's hearing some worship music. And so finally the day came where we had to plant it outside. And I don't know why I'm attached. This is weird, by the way. If you're thinking, is this weird? Yes, it is weird. So I'll go outside, I plant this tree and make it, make sure this. I dig deep, and the roots are, right where they should be. And I put some soil in there. And I know it's going to sound weirder. I'm talking to this tree, in Jesus' name, I'm going to grow up to be a magnificent tree, right? And I'm watering it now. I own the watering now. I'll water it. I'll take ownership of it. So if it dies, it's on me. But if it lives, it's because I'm watering it. And this is my point. I think that tree is going to live because it's being taken care of. Watch it die. Watch it a year from now. It's like, well, remember that tree? It doesn't exist anymore. No, but, it's going to, my hopes, desires that it lives, right? And I'm taking care of it. And the idea here is that he is like a tree planted in streams of water. When you are rooted in Scripture, you're getting nourished. And there's a certain vitality that comes inside of you. Because you're being nourished by water in it. God is nourishing you. And here's three applicational principles. And the first one is this. Make the time to spend the time with God's word. Make the time to spend the time with God's word. Did you notice how in verse 2, the first part, it said, his desire or her desire is in the law of the Lord. Just this desire. And with desire, it's not just like, man, you make time for the things that are important, right? You make time for your loved ones. You make time to eat. You make time for the things that you value. And the same thing is like making time for Scripture. Can you imagine if your loved one, right, sends you a text, and the first thing you see in the text, because you only see a couple characters, right, it's a heart, right? And you know it's going to be this good text. You're like, man, like, you're like, oh, can you imagine not opening the text and being like, this is a whole bunch of little hearts. No, you would open it, right? And man, this is where you'd like if you brought your loved one, your spouse, this is where you're like, oh yeah, amen. He's just looking at you, how you respond. You know, you open the text, right? Or vice versa. He sends you a loving text. Oh, women, like, especially you, right? If your man sends you a text that starts with a little happy emoji, heart, kissy, kissy. What are you going to do? Are you going to wait, ladies, and be like, I just wait to the end of the day? Oh, no. If I know you guys better, it doesn't matter if you're at the job or not. You're already looking at your phone like, oh, you're opening it. You know, you're like, oh, when was the last time you did that? You start texting back, I love you too, poochie poo. You know, put the little kisses, huggy huggy, XX, you know, balloon. And he responds back, you know, what's for dinner? You're like, what's for dinner? Where'd you get the what's for dinner from? You know, but you look and you start having those text exchanges, right? Can you imagine? That's the Word of God is like a big text. The lover of your soul has sent you texts that talk about how much He wants to spend time with you, and He loves you, and what everything He has done for you, and who He is. When you want to know your lover, the Lord, it's insane for us not to check the text of our loved ones. It'd be insane for us not to check the texts of the ultimate lover of our souls, the Lord. See, but for that, we got to carve out the time to actually spend with Him. And for that, I want to give you a really practical way of doing that. If you got a bulletin coming in there you have a couple of things. One thing I want to draw your attention to, and if you didn't, by the way, on the way out, you can grab one of the 5x5x5 forms. This will also be in the website once the sermon is uploaded. By tomorrow, we'll also have this in there. And this is a New Testament reading plan, 5x5x5. Now, this is I'm going to give you a couple of leading questions. So, do you guys have 5 minutes a day, right, that's extra? And don't be like, nah, I don't. Listen, if you're watching, like, you know, commercials, like almost 5 minutes, it seems like. You know, we all have 5 minutes, right? 5 minutes a day. Do we have 5 days of the week that we could just say, you know what, I'm going to dedicate 5 days out of the week. And this plan actually takes you through the days that you would take off, or you would use as reflection. So it'd be 5 minutes a day for 5 days. And then looking at the Word from five different vantage points. And so I want to challenge you. And it's a challenge because I can't make you. So, which is actually a good thing. I want to challenge you this year to pick up one of these and to start in January the 1st with the first day. Mark chapter 1. By the way, starting the first Sunday of January, I will be preaching through the book of Mark, which is the discipleship gospel. I'm going to be preaching through that for several weeks. And so it'll be great for you to be like, hey, man, I read it, you know. So I want to challenge you to do that. And I want to challenge you to do it for the whole year. Matter of fact, I told my kids, hey, we're going to do this together as a family. So every one of my kids is going to also, on the disclosed day, on the day that is signaled there, they're going to read that chapter. And then once a week, I'm going to meet with my kids and just ask the question of them. And with Marisa in there as well. We're going to ask the question like, what did God teach you through His Word? And that's it. What did God teach you through His Word? What did He teach you through His Word? And that's called discipleship, by the way. And that's what I'm committed to do with my family. And I'm committed to do that with my family because God calls us to make disciples. And so we want to start off with our families, but then move on from there. I've challenged the elders, the current elder board, to do the same thing with their families, to go through this, and then once a week get together and say, you know, what did God teach you through His Word today? Now, imagine with me. This sounds like a John Lennon song. It's about to start, which is not. Imagine with me. What would it look like if many of us were going through this, and this culture right here would begin to change when we were to ask each other questions like, hey, what's God been teaching you through His Word today or this week? And you'd be like, well, man, in Mark, I saw chapter 2, man, I just got really just convicted me. The next person would say like, yeah, me too. Or not me, you know, I saw that, you know. Our culture here could change drastically. Where it wouldn't just be like a come and watch, but it'd be like a come and encourage one another. And what would it look like? And so this is a tool that you can use starting this year. I hope you do it. I hope you could even ask me during the Sundays, like, what did the Lord teach you this week? And this is the second thing that we see. And that is we have to be a consistent reader. We have to be a consistent reader. We see that in that passage. It says, don't just read, but meditate on it. Meditate on it. Now, I have this dog, Cookie. Cookie's a Shih Tzu. So it's not a big dog. I mean, we all can all agree that Shih Tzus are not big. They're not. They're also not ferocious. They act like they're ferocious. They act like, man, they're like the big dog in the house, right? But they're like, my Shih Tzu's this way. Her name is Cookie. And she doesn't look all that intimidating at all. I mean, we call her Cookie because she's got black and white spots, and she has her little bows in her ears, you know. Yeah, no, not very manly, you know, for me to be holding, you know, Cookie. So I just give it to the girls. And when Cookie walks out, or runs out, rather, because she likes to run out. She just runs out. We have a doggy door. It runs out. And he goes straight to the fence next door. And next door, they have like three massive dogs. They have a lab, which is pretty big, right? One of them may be a German Shepherd. I'm not quite sure. And they have another one that's pretty big. You know what Cookie does? He runs towards the fence. He stands like a pit bull. And just looks at the other dogs. The other dogs are going crazy. Like, and it's like she enjoys it. Well, here recently, Cookie decided that size didn't really matter. Cookie's gotten braver or dumber. I'm not quite sure. But now Cookie goes to the next door neighbor, which is a huge field, and they don't have dogs there. They have cattle there. And these cattle, we know they're coming close because we get a whiff of it sometimes, if you know what I mean. And they start getting close. And Cookie will run out. He'll get in front of I think they're Angus cows. And he'll go in front of the bull and just stand like this. And there's no fence to separate him. You just stand right there, and the bull's like shaking. And the bull starts like, you know, she starts barking. And the bull is just like, oh, it starts running like a little girl. I mean, not a little girl. Not don't disrespect the little girls. But he starts running, you know, like, I got to run. You know, I'm like, what kind of bull is that? No pun intended. What kind of bull is that? And then the same thing with the cows. You know, he goes straight to the cows and starts barking like if it was a big dog. And the cows, I mean, they're like super scared of Cookie. I'm like, and for us, it's like, Cookie, come on, let him eat. Now, one thing about cows is this. They have one stomach and they have four chambers. And now, that by saying that, this is what cattle do. They eat. I'm sure most of you know. Yeah, they eat. Yes, Jesse. But they store their stuff. They store it. And earlier today, I was learning that process is called ruminate. Well, it's rumen. rumen is the actual, you know, you don't call it a stomach. It's rumen is this process. They have four different chambers. And what they do is they ruminate. Now, that doesn't mean that there's like two roommates hanging out. Is they're ruminating. It's ruminating. What that means is it brings out the stuff it ate before. And, you know, and it starts chewing on it. And then when it's done with it, it's not like tobacco. It doesn't spit it out. It just puts it, you know, locks it back in there. Maybe it goes into the second chamber. But then it gets some more. And it's chewing, it's chowing down. It's just, have you seen it? It's not chewing gum, kids. They're just chewing their the food they ate before. That's like the process that we should have when it comes to Scripture. Right? We hear the Word of God, we read it, and then we're ruminating. We're going a little bit deeper next time. I read the verse this morning, and now I'm looking a little bit deeper on it and thinking about it and processing it. That's what meditation is. You're ruminating on that kind of stuff. When you ruminate the Word of God, every time that you look at it, kid you not, every time that you look at it, you will get some insight that you didn't see there the time before. And that's what we do. We just ruminate the Word of God. Number three is this. Combine Bible study with behavior change. Combine Bible study with behavior change. Noticing back to the verse that the passage that we use, it says, don't walk according to those people. Be careful you're not a stumbling block. Be careful that you're not being super critical of people. What are those things? Those are behavioral things. So when you read the Word of God, don't just read it for knowledge sake. Read it for application's sake. In other words, what am I going to do with this? When you read the Word of God, you're like, what am I going to do with this? Because it's not just about the, you know, transforming or rather transmitting or transform or giving information. It's about transformation. And so you're not just giving information or receiving information. You're putting it into practice. That's why Jesus says, you know, in all the things that I've taught you to do, teach them to others to obey those things, because application matters. Now, I'm going to teach you my method here in the tail end of the message. I'm going to teach you my method of journaling, my method of journaling. And in there, in your bulletin, you should have gotten a little card, and there's more in the back, and this will also be in the website. And in the back, it says Bible reading and journaling, SOAP. So this is the SOAP method. This is the SOAP method. I love it. I've done it many, many years now. I've discipled many men using this. And this is the way the SOAP method does. So I'm going to take a real example. So I have my YouVersion Bible app. I'm going to look at the verse of the day. And I'm going to show you what, like, my process of like, studying Scripture. So this is the verse of the day, which I would do in the journal, S:, and then I would write out the Scripture. It says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. All right? So I would read it, write it down. Next line, I would put the O, observation. That's what that means, observation. What do I observe off of that verse? So you can even do verse of the day. If you're like, man, I can't do a chapter, well, you can do maybe a verse. So the O, observation. So check out how slowly I'm going to go through this and making up observations. Put on all of God's armor. Pause there for just a moment. I would put in my observation, command, put on. Put on is a command. Put on, it's a command. That's an observation. Observation would be something like God's armor. You use armor for defense. God's armor, I would put that on. So maybe my observation would be like, there's a reason why I put God's armor. You will be able, I might underline, circle the word will, you will, which means there's a promise. You will, when you do this, you will, underline, highlight, you will be able to stand firm against. So the observation would be that there's something I'm standing firm against So underline, we would circle. All strategies. How many? All. So I may make the observation that this is every strategy. All means all, or every strategy known. Strategies. I might circle it and underline it or make note of it and say, okay, strategies, more than one. It's not just one strategy, but many strategies. Now, I would put in there many strategies, not just one. Of the devil. Observation would be like, the devil has many strategies against me. That's observation. Now, you can go as deep as you want, as light as you want, whatever the Spirit of God moves and tugs in your heart, that's the observation. You just put it in there. You just write it down. It doesn't have to be complex. It doesn't have to take you long. As a matter of fact, you should be able to do this within 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, no more than five. Well, what does the A stand for? Application. You got to make the application very specific to you. So the application, according to this verse, would be something like, I am going to start reading daily tomorrow. That'd be an application. So if I want to stand firm against the strategies of the Lord, then application is, I'm going to read daily starting tomorrow. Another application may be like, watch out for the strategies of the devil today. That would be an application, potential application. Another application may be, put on the full armor of God tomorrow or daily. Or it may be something different. If you look at the next part of the bookmark here, it has Bible method called space pets. I know it's easier to remember if I think of pets in space. Space pets. So it may be that your application might be one of these. Is there a sin to confess or repent of? Is there a promise to claim? Is there an attitude to change or aspire to? Is there a command to obey? Is there an example to follow or avoid? Is there a prayer to pray? Is there an error to avoid? A truth to believe, or something for which to praise God. And that would be where you would put P, colon, and you would put that. And then lastly, in the soap is the P, the prayer, colon. And then you would write out a little prayer like, Lord, help me stand on your truth. Or, Lord, help me watch out for the schemes of the devil. Or, Lord, help me put on the armor of God. Now, when we do that, this is what starts happening. We take a life from just purely consuming information, which, by the way, is of no value. It has no value, just consuming information, if we divorce it from application. Jesus was all about application. The Pharisees were all about information. See the difference? It's application. How does this relate to my life specifically? This morning, even this message has been about that, application. And the Lord is moving and stirring in your heart and bringing to life scriptures that he's saying, hey, listen, you need to apply this. Will you respond when he knocks and says, hey, this is for you? Oh, but it seems so hard. I want you to do it with your family. Great starting point. Let's pray. Lord Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for your word. We take for granted the fact that we have your word. 500 years ago, just 500 years ago, you made it available for every person to have access to your word. And we had it available because of the printing press 500 years ago. The printing press made it available for the normal, non-priest, non-religious person to have access to your word. Lord, we take that for granted. That for so many centuries, people didn't have access to it. And all they had access is to the hearing of the word. Lord, we have so many tools available to us. Whether it's a tool to listen to the word of God. Maybe we're not readers. We need to listen to it. Or the tool of so many YouTube, which has many communicators in there that are Bible-centered. Lord, let us not squander the availability of your word to us. We love you, Christ our King. Transform us. Use us. Make us more into your image, that we may follow your ways, your words, and your works. We love you, Christ our King, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand up with me as we continue to praise our God?